Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Maggot Brain by Funkadelic. The original release was in 1971 on Westbound Records. Our copy is a limited edition colored vinyl 2014 re-release, catalog number HIQLP020.
So this album comes from my interest in the works of Parliament and Funkadelic, which I think goes back to our time in college. And I think I originally learned about Parliament from you, Flissy, is that correct?
Possibly.
And I'd been a fan of Parliament for some time and had never really listened to anything by Funkadelic and thought that it was some time that I took a listen. And I guess Maggot Brain was the first album that I picked up from their works. And it turns out I think is still my favorite. So I picked this album up, I guess, from Music Direct in 2014 when it was released, because it was one of my favorite Funkadelic albums. So Felicity, do you want to tell us a little bit about what this album looks like?
Sure. So on the cover is this lady's head sticking out of the dirt. It looks like maybe she's screaming. And it just has over her head Funkadelic and underneath Maggot Brain. It's in this kind of like poppy red font, and the letters are all kind of misaligned from one another. And then on the back, it says again, Maggot Brain, Funkadelic, and where this lady's head was is now just this bare skull. And this is a gatefold album, so you open it up and it's got some of the members of Funkadelic, picture on the right, and then on the left side of the gatefold it has Maggot Brain superimposed over what appears to be an actual maggot, which is rather disgusting. Anyway, and then it has the track listing, and then it has kind of this, I don't know how you would say, like this expository writing beneath that, maybe some theory and ideas behind the album are written underneath of there. And it does say produced by George Clinton, Parla Funkadelic Mint Thang, which I think will clarify what that means exactly when we get into the biographical details of this album. And the album itself, the record itself, is like this creamy beige color, which, like, to me, like, it is reminiscent of an actual maggot. I think it's gross.
All right. Well, let's get right to our first clip. This is the title track from the album, the first track on side A. It is my pick. It is Maggot Brain. So let's take a listen.
Mother Earth is pregnant for the third time, for y'all have knocked her up. I have tasted the maggots in the mind of the universe. I was not offended. For I knew I had to rise above it all or drown in my own shit.
Thank you.
So admittedly, this is a epic guitar solo. I mean, the thing is like 10 minutes long. And it has like this kind of, I would say like Jimi Hendrix influence sort of fuzz on there. And it has like this, aside from the guitar solo, like the riff that's going on in the background, it's got this like really trancey, alternate, melody underlying the whole thing. That's got like this switch between a minor and major scale. And that groove, I think, is like just really kind of hypnotic to listen to. And then you get like the fuzzy guitar on top of that. The whole thing is just kind of like super psychedelic.
So I'll admit right off the bat that sort of epic guitar solo genre is not necessarily my prime area of interest. So I don't really have, you know, a huge basis for comparison of this against other guitar solos, but I find this guitar solo amazing. I mean, this is really awesome to me. And I really like, yeah, the effects that he has going on with the guitar. And I'm not, you know, not a huge guitar aficionado, but perhaps friend of the show, Sid, could give me some information or insights on, you know, what pedals or effects he might be using. But yeah, I mean, I guess this is the guitar playing of Eddie Hazel, and I find, you know, Eddie Hazel's playing to be, I don't know, sort of right up my alley. I mean, I think this speaks to me in a way that a lot of other electric guitar doesn't. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to say that if I played guitar that I would be able to play as good as Eddie Hazel, but Eddie Hazel is the kind of guitar playing that I would want to be able to do if I was a guitar player. Just the way that, you know, jazz piano, I think that like Waltz for Debbie and Bill Evans, it like spoke to me immediately, and I'm like, yes, if I were to play jazz, like this is the kind of jazz that would be up my alley. So I don't know, it just sort of spoke to me right away. And I don't know, I mean, I guess legend is or whatever that George Clinton told Eddie Hazel to sort of play this song as if his mother had just died. And I think it has sort of that feeling to it, that whether that's true or not, I don't know, you can sort of feel or hear that in it, where it has sort of this sort of lamentation to it. And I think it's just very, I don't know, powerful. And it's kind of one of those songs that I think is really good for listening when you're like about to go to sleep and you're sort of like, you know, in this drowsy half awake state. And I don't know. All right, Felicity, so what can you tell us about Funkadelic or this recording?
Okay, so my intention with this biography, when we picked this album, I'm like, all right, I'm going to straighten it out once and for all. Like, what is the deal with George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic, and why are there, like, so many albums with so many different names but it's the same people? So I'm going to try to like lay it out so that we all understand like what is going on. It's complicated. Go. Let's give it a try. Okay. So this all begins with George Clinton, who was born July 22nd, 1941. And he formed a doo-wop group called the Parliaments in 1955. And this is basically like your standard like barbershop quartet style doo-wop band. And in fact, George Clinton was a hairstylist, and throughout the Parliament Funkadelic incarnations, like, he was doing like people's hair, which I think is like kind of funny. Maybe that's why he always has such excellent wacky neon grandpa dreads. Actually, hairstylist. Anyway, so during this first incarnation of the Parliaments in 1955, he eventually had some trouble with the label and had to change the name of the band to Funkadelic in 1968. So, like, all the artists stayed the same, but he, because, like, the name was caught up in this, like, buying and selling of the record label, he just made a new name and they proceeded to record. And then in 1970, he regained control of the name and recorded the album Osmium under Parliament. But Funkadelic, at the same time, was gaining popularity. So he just kept with the name Funkadelic for a while. So this gets confusing because over the course of the 1970s, There were over 50 musicians in this operating under this collective, under both Parliament and Funkadelic. So no wonder I have been confused all this time about like what is Parliament and Funkadelic. It's because there are like literally dozens and dozens of musicians involved in this thing. So basically, Funkadelic branch of things is focused on psychedelic rock. And then Parliament is focused more on the experimental kind of funk, which that makes it confusing because like Funkadelic, like funk is in the name, but it is Parliament that is the funk band. Why?
These things are not meant to be understood.
So
accidents of history.
I mean, and a lot of drugs, I'm pretty sure. And so like under this big collective of Parliament and Funkadelic, I think like what was going on, I'm not sure if it was 100% intentional that George Clinton was trying to make it like Motown Records, but the effect was that it was kind of like Motown Records, where there are many artists, like collaborating together all the time. And it's just like some of the time, like different artists were featured depending on what the release is. And this is further complicated by the fact that like Parliament and Funkadelic at different times were under different labels. And because there's so many musicians involved in these projects that they like musicians were like not necessarily tied onto one label either. And so it was a big old mess.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that. I mean, I don't know any of the details, I guess, but it seems like George Clinton had a lot of, you know, problems with record labels or switching with record labels.
Yeah.
Or rights, you know, battles over rights and things. Right. So I'm not sure what was going on there, but I guess that made things more complicated as well.
Yeah. So just among the many musicians that were part of this collective, obviously we mentioned Eddie Hazel, and there's also Bernie Worrell, who was keyboardist, who is featured on this album, as well as many other Parliament and Funkadelic albums throughout the 70s. And
where do you know him from, Felicity?
Where do I know him from?
He plays keyboards on Stop Making Sense.
Oh, yes, that's right. How could I forget that? I feel like I've committed some sin against David Byrne. Okay, anyway. Yes, Bernie Worrell on Stop Making Sense. Let's be clear. I'll just have to watch that again as penitence. Okay. Anyway, we got Bernie Worrell, and we have Bootsy Collins, who was, he's the bassist, and he was also former bassist for James Brown, which I think, like, he's really responsible for a lot of that, like, really kind of old school funk sound that you hear on Parliament and Funkadelic records. And while we're talking about some of the specific biographies, we got Eddie Hazel, and he joined pretty early with Billy Nelson, the bassist, in 1967. And he was the guitarist, obviously, on this album and also on the first two Funkadelic albums.
What my understanding is of Eddie Hazel is that, you know, I guess it was after, you know, the doo-wop group, the Parliaments, I guess, transformed into Funkadelic. George Clinton was looking for a guitarist, and I don't know, I guess one of the other members suggested Eddie Hazel, but he was like 19 at the time, I guess. And so George Clinton had to go and like talk to his mom and basically be like, hey, I'll look out for your son while we're on tour or whatever. And I guess she agreed. But it's kind of incredible, you know.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that didn't work out too well for him because allegedly his nickname was Maggot Brain because of all the drugs that he did. His brain was just messed up. And he died pretty young in 1992 from liver failure and internal bleeding, both of which were consequences of his pretty severe relationship with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know, I don't do any drugs in my own personal life, and I have no interest in that. But definitely a lot of the artists, which I really enjoy and respect, did a lot of drugs or had a lot of issues as a result of drugs. And I don't know, I guess I have sort of an internal conflict about that. about, like, you know, how I guess drugs really can enhance people's creative energy, but at the same time, you know, can be so destructive as well.
Yeah, and I think, like this was in fact, like, the drug culture was, like, a really, like, that was an important part of Parliament and Funkadelic. Like, they were doing these psychedelic drugs and, like, encouraging the use of them because of, like, these transcendental states. And yeah, I don't know. It is definitely a strange thing. And there's, I mean, it's creative, that's for sure. Like, I don't know if it makes sense all the time, but that's a thing. So, yeah, so that, like, there's this huge conglomeration of Parliament and Funkadelic that is just, like, banging through the 70s. I mean, there's a really productive time for all of the artists. And then in 1980, PolyGram acquired one of the labels that George Clinton was managing, and that caused more troubles with the names. And so this was also, like, 1980, like, the early part of the 1980s, like, George Clinton was probably partially because of all these acquisitions and problems with the labels. He had financial troubles and also was super deep into drugs and cocaine during that time. And so, like, the early 1980s were kind of a wash. There was not a lot of productivity going on there for George Clinton or the rest of the artists, although he did record solo with his musicians during that time. There was, like, sporadic touring through the late part of the 80s. And during that time, he was recording solo as George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic, and also as the P-Funk All-Stars. And then he got kind of, like, there was a little bit of a revival of the Parliament Funkadelic stuff in the 1990s because funk-inspired rap helped revive all things George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. So they were, like, probably the most sampled artist in the 90s for hip-hop and rap. So, in summary, here's the timeline for you guys. Okay, 1950s, the Parliaments. 1968 to 1970, Funkadelic. 1970s, Funkadelic is the psych rock. Even though Funkadelic's in the name, don't think too hard about it. Parliament is the experimental funk. 1980s, George Clinton and P-Funk All-Stars. And then in 1997... they were, this whole conglomeration was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right. Yeah, I don't know why it seems so confusing, though. I mean, like, one of my other favorite artists are, you know, whatever, people, Bill Lieb and Reese Fulber, and between the two of them, they probably have, like, 12 different projects.
Yeah.
Some together, some apart, some where they were together at some point, but then not necessarily the whole time. And I don't know why that seems less confusing to me than Parliament and Funkadelic. I guess because they don't have, like, the Delirium Frontline Assembly All-Stars or something.
What would that be like?
I don't even know. It's
featuring Will.
All right, well, let's get to your clip then, Felicity. What did you pick?
So I picked the second track. It's called Can You Get to That?
All right, let's take a listen.
I once had a life already.
So this is an interesting song. I mean, it starts off and it's got what a quotation in there that's, or right, I guess I should say, it's saying that they listen to a quotation, gonna reap just what you sow, the debts you make, you have to pay. And then I guess it talks about, I don't know, sort of being in debt and whether or not, you know, I guess you can have love on credit. I'm not really sure I understand this. Do you know what the song's about?
Yeah, I think like this is part of the like advanced cooperative culture that they're talking about here. They're talking about like enlightenment and karma, I think is what they're talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, I like this song. It has sort of a different feel to it, and it's interesting. I mean, you know, Maggot Brain goes on for like 10 minutes and it sort of almost ends abruptly and then comes into the song. And I never really thought about it today, except for when I was trying to figure out what to say, that they just sort of run together. And it just, I don't know, somehow it just sort of seems like it's been well edited, I guess, in that it seems like a pretty seamless transition. But in reality, they're like very different stylistic songs. So what do you think about this, Felicity? I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, it maybe shouldn't be surprising that this is my pick, considering that my entry into the George Clinton world is through the Parliament side of things. Like, I have a preference for the more kind of like straight up funk and less with the like totally tripped out psychedelic fuzzy stuff. And so this, I think, it's like way, well, I don't know, like Mac and Brayden in some ways is kind of minimalist, like the guitar solo is the thing that's highlighted. And this one is like, it's way less electronic. It sounds more acoustic. And in fact, this is a rewrite of a song by the Parliaments titled What You've Been Growing. And it has, like, in addition to the, like that, I think, some of that old school doo-wop thing. It's also influenced by gospel music. And the lead vocals on this, the I Wanna Know, that sweet bass voice is Ray Davis, who is one of the original members of the Parliaments. And he's one of the longest members of the whole Parliament Funkadelic jam. And I think he stayed all the way through the cocaine infested 1990s era of Parliament. I think he died in 2005.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I really like about this track in particular, not the cocaine or whatever, but the sort of call and response nature of the vocals. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this album overall, Felicity?
Yeah, like overall, I appreciate like all the super, like, I appreciate the art, the edginess of it, and like how influential this particular album is with the like epic Maggot Brain solo. And you know, lyrically it's really has a lot of strong messages, and musically it's really creative. It has like a little bit of that like more traditional funk, like more old school funk, and even some of that early doo-wop influence, and then like some really weird psychedelic stuff in there, like
the Wars of Armageddon.
Yeah,
which I was listening to late last night, and I was like, you know what, I'm just not in the mood for this.
Yeah, so like I appreciate like all this like really edgy stuff that they're doing, like really experimental and pretty like progressive, like civil rights messages that are embedded in there, and a lot of empowerment for Black people. Like, I think it's awesome. But musically, like, it is just not, like, I'm just not into it. Like, I prefer, like, the more straight-up funk thing. Like, if it was this or an Earth, Wind, and Fire album, like, that would be, the Earth, Wind, and Fire would win.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely think Maggot Brain is the strongest track on this, and really probably the reason that this is my favorite. But I think that there's a lot of good stuff on here. And even you know, I was talking a little bit about Wars of Armageddon, how I wasn't in the mood, like right before going to bed. But I think it's got a lot of interesting things in there. It's got, I don't know, I mean, it's just a little chaotic, I guess, which is maybe not the thing right before going to bed. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just interesting how there can be a lot of crossover between Parliament and Funkadelic, and, you know, definitely a lot of the same creative forces that are going into both of them, but they can both, you know, be very different, I guess. I think that's interesting. I think it's kind of neat that George Clinton ended up having multiple creative outlets and that he could explore these different
yeah, styles. And I like, kudos to him. Like, talk about a prolific guy. Like, prolific in his own right, and like being a facilitator for so many other musicians to do so many creative things. Like, that's pretty, I mean, there's no doubt he's got like this tremendous influence over spanning over like 50 years, 60 years. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, you know, speaking of the record itself, I feel like this re-release is good. Like, I think the mixing of it is good. Sometimes when stuff is remastered, it's like, it gets flattened or something. Like, I think this sounds good. My only critique is that they shouldn't have picked such a disgusting color for the colored vinyl. They should have gone with that poppy red.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully.
Or printed like a skull.
There you go.
Skull picture disc.
Or just sort of dirt, you know, like look like dirt.
Ooh, that'd be cool too.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of surprising that we ended up doing a Funkadelic album first before Parliament, because as we mentioned, we both got into Parliament first, and I've been wanting to do a Parliament album like the whole time, but I think we're kind of stuck on which Parliament album to choose. So I don't know, maybe we can resolve that.
But maybe Mothership Connection.
Yeah, but it's either that or Funkin' Telechi. So I'm not sure which
Showdown. You can voters, like listeners can make a vote.
Yeah. If there's one you want to hear, let us know. And basically, if anybody says anything, that's the one we'll go. So anyway, if you want to find out more about Parliament or Funkadelic and their relationship and the whole history, you can start off by going to our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/57.
We've got in the show notes a link to the 2005 documentary One Nation Under a Groove, which was on PBS, I think. That's a great place to start to get your George Clinton history in control.
And as always, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and
Twitter.
Yes, at Living in Hi-Fi. Or if you have a longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And stay tuned for next week when I guess we have another surprise for you.
Well, I think maybe we'll do an Arabian Delights album for you. Ah,
that's right. Yeah, so
some Orientalism.
So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening.
Bye.